Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, Sierra Leone quarantines a million people in a bid to stop the Ebola virus from spreading. We talk to the country's deputy chief medical officer.
There we need to restrict movement because people are moving from one district to the other. There we need to take some measures to ensure that we reduce that. Currently, we only have one district that is without Ebola.
The Nigerian military has announced that Boko Haram leader Abubakar Shekau is dead, but analysts are treating the claim with suspicion.
Whether Shekau is alive or dead is not the issue. The issue is containing those terrorists and dealing with the whole issue and meeting it to the board. That's the most important thing for now.
And later in the program, a hard-pressed mother receives help from an unexpected quarter in our radio drama, The Crossroads Generation.
Top story.
US President Barack Obama told a high-level United Nations meeting on Ebola on Thursday that the world has not done enough to respond to a health crisis that poses a growing threat to regional and global security. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said the world can and must stop Ebola now. Meanwhile, Sierra Leone, one of the three West African countries worst affected by the disease, has quarantined more than a million people in a bid to stop it spreading. Earlier, I spoke to Sarian Kamara, Sierra Leone's deputy chief medical officer, and I asked her which areas were being quarantined and why.
Well, you have two districts in the north that have been quarantined. That's Motlokwa district and Bombali district. And then you have another additional district in the south. That is Moyamba district. And the president took a decision last night to have these three districts quarantined because of the increase in the number of Ebola positive cases, these three districts. And then in addition to that also, we are having hotspots within those districts. So we seem to be having quite a number of cases coming out of those districts. And we believe that if we are to the chain of transmission, then we need to restrict movement. Because people are moving from one district to the other, then we need to take some measures to ensure that we reduce that. Currently, we only have one district that is without Ebola, but the rest of the country has. Initially, we had two epicenters, that is Kailau and Kenema district, that are still under quarantine. But the situation is improving there.
What will this measure mean for the people who are living in these areas? How will their daily lives be affected?
People are going to be allowed to move around within those districts, and for homes that have positive cases, they are going to be again also quarantined, and food is going to be provided to those homes, and they're going to be followed up. We have our contact tracers, we have the surveillance team that will go into those specific homes, and then to line list all the contact, and then essential services will still be continuing in those districts.
But is it really possible to keep 1 million people under quarantine? Surely this is unprecedented.
Well, you remember we had the 3 days sit-at, and that one worked. We had people sitting at home for 3 days, and through that we were able to actually sensitize people, get them with the correct information, and then at the same time too, people were able to call out, to tell us where they had suspected cases, whether they had somebody that had died and all the rest of it. And we believe that we need to do something if we have to break the chain of transmission.
The UN General Assembly in New York is addressing the problem of this epidemic. Do you get the sense that world leaders are now aware of the seriousness of the crisis that your country is facing?
Oh, yes, I believe so. They are aware of the seriousness of the crisis because we've been getting response from the international community. For example, we have the World Bank that have provided us with funds. They have signed a grant to government. In addition to that, also, people that have come in, they are offering us about 700 beds. And then you also have other organizations that have come in, WHO, they are bringing in experts. You have CDC as well.
Sarian Kamara, Sierra Leone's Deputy Chief Medical Officer. After facing much criticism, European nations have promised to step up aid for countries hit by the Ebola epidemic. But European Union officials are stressing that massive external support will not, on its own, interrupt the chain of infection. Awareness of the disease by the local population and their collaboration in fighting it was also needed. This report by Bert Riegert has been adapted for Africa Link by Assumpta Lartus.
Upon his return from a short round trip through Liberia and Sierra Leone, Philippe Maugan from the EU's aid organization ECHO criticized the international community's way of handling the Ebola outbreak crisis.
I think the international response was probably slow.
Joanne Liu, head of the international aid organization Doctors Without Borders, chose even more drastic words while addressing the World Health Organization in Geneva.
The world is losing the battle to contain it. Leaders are failing to come to grip with this transnational threat. In West Africa, cases and death continue to surge. Isolation centers are overwhelmed.
Liu's Doctors Without Borders, or Médecins Sans Frontières, are treating roughly two-thirds of all Ebola patients in West Africa. Though the EU Commission in Brussels has supported them financially, the non-government organization has repeatedly said that the biggest challenge is not funds, but the lack of trained personnel. But defending the international community, the EU aid organization coordinator Maugang argued that there are no emergency crews readily available anywhere in Europe nor elsewhere.
The logistics has to be organized, volunteers have to be found, and in the case of Ebola, that's not easy because it's clearly a very dangerous disease.
Maugan estimates that it might take until the end of this year and possibly until the middle of next before the numbers of the new Ebola infections will considerably go down. Currently, some 5,900 people have been infected. The United States and Germany have pledged to send soldiers who will set up much-needed treatment centers, but they will not run them. It takes medically trained personnel to do that. But recruiting such personnel is very difficult because locals have seen that aid workers and doctors can also die of Ebola, as Sierra Leone's ambassador to Brussels, Ibrahim Suare, told the European Parliament.
The nature of the virus is such that it has claimed the lives of people trained to deliver healthcare, and to date, we have lost over 34 of our courageous medical personnel in the struggle, including four medical doctors. This has contributed to the spread of fear, which has created further difficulties in our response to non-Ebola-related diseases.
That report was written by Bernd Riegert.
Africa Link, because Africa is more than just a headline.
The International Criminal Court is opening a new investigation into recent atrocities committed in the Central African Republic. Months of fighting between the mainly Muslim Seleka rebel coalition and the Christian anti-Balaka militia have left at least 5,000 people dead. The atrocities to be probed include murder, rape, forced displacement, persecution, pillaging, and the use of children under the age of 15 in combat. Thierry Vilcoulon is the project director for East Africa at the International Crisis Group. I asked him if he could see reconciliation between the warring factions becoming any easier if justice was seen to be done and perpetrators of atrocities were brought to justice.
Well, I think right now we are very far away from the prospect of reconciliation in CAR. Because first, a lot of massacres happened last year, and they are unfortunately still fighting going on in Central African Republic. So reconciliation seems to be a very far away prospect. We must not forget that this is a request. The ICC has been saved by the transitional government, so it's not a proprio motu initiative by the ICC, it is a request of the transitional government.
So this means that the court can rely on the support of the interim government in its investigations?
Definitely, that's the message. Catherine Samba-Panda, the head of the transition, requested the intervention of the ICC. And, of course, this is just the beginning of what can be a long process, but it's definitely welcome given the level of impunity in the country. We must not forget that right now the justice system in Central African Republic has completely collapsed.
How long will this formal investigation take?
That's really impossible to say at the moment.
But we cannot say at this stage whether there's going to be a trial, can we?
No, of course not. I mean, first, the ICC will have to send investigators to Central African Republic. The ICC had an office in Bangui till the end of the year, and they were forced to pull out and close down their office because of the security situation there. So they're probably going to re-establish an office and investigating further.
This would be the court's second investigation in CAR. Jean-Pierre Bemba, a former vice president from the neighbouring DRC, is on trial for commanding rebels who committed murder, rape and pillage in CAR just over 10 years ago. What has been the reaction to that trial in the region?
That trial is, of course, about the politics in Congo, so it was not really an issue in Bangui. I think what probably reinforced the feeling of impunity in Central African Republic when that the ICC investigated the killings that were committed in Bangui in 2003, they indicted Jean-Pierre Bemba only, and they did not expand their investigation and prosecutions to those who were involved in that matter from the Central African government side.
Thierry Vauculon, Project Director for East Africa at the International Crisis Group. Police in Nigeria are claiming that one of the more than 200 schoolgirls kidnapped by Boko Haram Islamist militants in April has been found. However, a community leader from the girl's hometown of Chibok said her name was not on the list of kidnapped victims, though she may be too traumatized to identify herself properly. Meanwhile, the Nigerian military has been claiming that the leader of Boko Haram, Abubakar Shekau, was dead and that a lookalike, one Mohamed Bashir, had been impersonating in him videos. But he too was now dead, the military claimed, having been killed in recent clashes with troops. Our northern Nigeria correspondent Muhammad Al-Amin reports.
The report that Boko Haram's leader Abubakar Shekau has been killed has sparked debates among Nigerians. Some still think that Shekau is still alive and kicking, and the one that the military is claiming to have killed is Shekau's imposter, Muhammad Bashir. Many residents of Maiduguri, the Borno state capital, however, express happiness, hoping that this will mark the end of the insurgency. Among them is Malam Yusuf. Today we are in a celebration mood in Maiduguri. Everybody is happy. This is as a result of Nigerian military's confirmation of the death of Boko Haram leader and that some insurgents laid down their arms. The celebrations come after the defense ministry said on Wednesday that Shekau was dead and that one Muhammad Bashir killed during the recent clashes with troops was a lookalike who had been impersonating him in videos. The military has also announced that 135 Boko Haram insurgents have surrendered in Yobe and Adamawa State. Another group of 45 terrorists were captured in around Mubi, Michika Axis in Adamawa State. Although some experts still have doubt over claims of Boko Haram's leader's death, Nigeria's Information Minister Labaran Maku said it was not important to it whether the Boko Haram's leader, Abubakar Shekau, is dead or alive, but it is more concerned on how to ensure that the terrorists laid down their arms. Mark Mitinyewa, a political analyst in northeastern Nigeria, also agrees with the minister.
When we learned about the death of the founder of Boko Haram, it wasn't the end of the whole thing. In fact, to a large extent, it has even escalated the whole problem because they thought the death of Yusuf Mohammed was the end of Boko Haram. But what we saw after that was outrageous. It was beyond our imagination. So whether Shekau is alive or dead is not the issue. The issue is containing those terrorists and dealing with the whole issue and knitting it to the board. That's the most important thing for now.
Some other northern Nigerians, such as Abubakar Baba from Gombe, said that even if Shekau were dead, the five-year-old insurgency is far from over.
To them, it's a welcome, it's a development, or it's an achievement. But to me, it's not an achievement because they have to fish out the sponsors, the financiers of this program. That is where this crisis will come to an end.
There was no immediate reaction from the Boko Haram sect as at the time of sending this report.
Mohammed Al-Amin reporting. And now, an overworked mother gets some respite from household chores when she receives some surprise visitors in this week's edition of Crossroads Generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Good to have you back for a new episode of Crossroads Generation, Facing the Consequences.
We're standing at the crossroads, we're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future stands today.
Before we start the 23rd episode in this series, let's quickly look back at what's happened so far. Dan and Marcy are in the same class at Bongo Academy. Some months ago, they had unprotected sex and Marcy got pregnant. Now, Dan's girlfriend, Anita, from his home country, Liberia, has showed up as an exchange student at Bongo Academy. And while she and Marcy actually became friends, Dan seems to have lost both girls. Marcy's mother, Lulu, also has a lot on her mind. Her husband, Msoto, has been held at the police station for months on suspicion of robbery. And Lulu's found out that almost a year ago, he sold their newborn baby to a local politician. She's been spending a lot of time at the police station trying to get her daughter back.
Don't tell me about processing, officer. I just want to see my little
girl. Madam, please keep your voice down. My new boss will hear you, and I'm sure she won't be amused.
But today is going to be a good day for Lulu, although she doesn't know it yet. Sit back and enjoy the surprise in today's episode called You Deserve Some Laughter.
Come in. It's open. Oh, hello, girls.
Hello.
Hi, Mama Marcy.
Hi, are you all here to see Marcy?
Yes.
Welcome. Marcy, your friends are here.
Hello, Mama Marcy.
Hello.
I'm Anita. This is Trudy.
Hi. Mm-hmm.
Julia.
Hey.
Joyce.
Hello.
Damaris.
Hello.
And Susan.
Hi.
Yeah. We all go to the same youth center.
Mm-hmm. Hello, guys.
What are you all doing here?
Surprise!
Welcome.
It's nice that you came to visit me.
Well, actually, we're here to see your mother.
What?
What?
Mama Marcy, this visit is part of our outreach program. What we do is called community outreach. We visit people in the community and help them out at weekends.
Mm-hmm. But what can you do in this house? I manage very well here. It's a small house.
We want to show our hardworking mothers some appreciation.
Yes.
Yeah. Mama Marcy, today we'll take a break from all the housework.
Yeah.
We'll do all the cooking, the washing, and all other chores.
Yeah.
You deserve some rest and some laughter.
Sure.
Trudy.
Yep.
Set up the mommy folding chair.
Sure.
What's that?
We came up with this special chair where the mothers we visit sit while we do the chores. We call it the mummy folding chair. Mm-hmm. And Trudy is in charge of the mummies.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, I might as well enjoy it, I suppose.
You will.
I don't remember the last time I just sat down.
Mom.
Oh, and we brought food too, so you won't have to worry about feeding us.
Yeah.
Okay, girls.
Yep.
We'll divide ourselves into groups. Group A, please take the charcoal burner outside. We'll cook outside today.
Ah, sounds exciting. But charcoal burners aren't environmentally friendly, Anita. Mm-hmm.
Good point, Julia. We should discuss that in our next meeting. How we could go about introducing environmentally friendly cooking methods.
Yes.
But we'll use the burner today.
Okay.
Group B, we'll give the house a thorough sprinkling.
Yes.
Okay, everyone, let's get to work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do this.
Yes.
Man, I hate doing laundry. Ruins the whole weekend here at boarding school.
Hey, Biko! How's the laundry going?
Hi, Dan. Fine, thanks.
Man, I hate working at weekends. I still have to hold the flower garden. Part of my stupid punishment. Okay. I can see you're very busy.
Yeah, well, if I don't do it, who will do it for me?
Can't you find some girl to do it for you?
What? I thought you've changed, man.
Hey, maybe we can play basketball later. Listen, Biko, I really miss hanging out with you.
Really?
I know I've been stupid and arrogant, but I'm sorry. Please talk to me again. You are my only friend here in Kisimba.
You know, Dan, I think you should change the way you behave. I mean, you take so many things for granted.
Biko, my man, what's happened to you? I already said I was sorry. You're acting like a sissy. Has my girl Anita been putting all this nonsense into your head?
See what I mean? You'll never change. Even being punished hasn't made any difference. And Anita is not your girl anymore.
At least I'm carrying out my punishment like a man.
In the flower garden. Right. You know what, Dan? Just leave me alone. I guess you and me can't be friends anymore.
Fine. Whatever.
That was delicious, girls. Who cooked this? Can I swap her with my daughter? Masi can go live with her parents and she can stay here.
Yeah, right. Maybe it would be a good idea to exchange moms too. Because mine seems to be enjoying the mommy chair a bit too much. I'm afraid that after you all go, I'm going to be doing all the chores around here.
I'm very happy you came, girls. I can't remember the last time I laughed so much.
We are very happy you allowed us to come, Mama Masi. But we didn't come here just to cook, eat and have a good time. We also wanted to discuss something with you.
What is it, Anita?
How can I put this? Well, at the youth center, we also discuss ways of improving our family's financial status.
Yeah.
Just imagine, Mama Masi, if you had your own little business.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Of course, that would be wonderful. But it's impossible. I left school too early to know anything about that.
Just because you didn't finish school doesn't mean you don't know anything.
Yeah. Anita's right, Mom. You know so much. You know all about the vegetables from our grandparents' garden, for example.
What if you brought vegetables from upcountry and sold them here in the city? All you'd need to do is transport them here. You could start by selling them on the market. Having your own shop comes later.
Yeah. That's a really good idea, Mom. In fact, we wouldn't even have to pay that much for transport. Mm-hmm. Mozi, the wholesaler, supplies the shops upcountry. He could bring the vegetables for us because his truck comes back empty after he supplied the shops.
I never thought of that. I should come and study at that school of yours. You girls are too clever for your own good.
Some laughter at last at the Msoto residents, thanks to Anita and the girls from the youth center. So what about the idea for Lulu's new project? Will she follow it up? Join us again for the next episode to find out. Take care.
A reminder of our main stories here on Africa Link. US President Barack Obama told a high-level UN meeting on Ebola that the world has not done enough to respond to a health crisis that poses a growing threat to regional and global security. The International Criminal Court has opened a formal investigation into atrocities committed in the Central African Republic. Police in Nigeria are claiming that Islamist extremists have freed one of the kidnapped Chibok schoolgirls, but a community leader says she's too traumatized to identify herself properly. We welcome your comments on this program, either in an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, in an SMS to country code 491609575950, or in a letter to Africa Link DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. From me, Mark Caldwell, bye now.